Hello and welcome back to the Lamb of Sala podcast. This is episode 2. I'm joined again by my two pals, Callum and Elliot. Say hello, boys.
How are we doing, everyone?
Hello.
First of all, what are we drinking? I've got a nice local bitter, Bathams. Anyone who lives by me will know what a Bathams is. Absolutely blows your head off. Carl, what are we on?
Horrible northern drink, that, probably. I've gone for a vocation. It's a hoppy, skippy, juicy drink, apparently. Lovely.
Now.
Well, those are nice and pink as well.
I've gone for a standard Stella. All you boys out there, you know the juice. I ain't got a wife beater on, and I haven't got a missus, so no harm will be caused tonight. Don't worry.
His mum did buy him that beer though, so
what's wrong with that?
Free beer, mate. They always taste better, don't they? Okay, first of all, before we get into the nitty-gritty, we're going to start with just a weekend review of the games, probably go over our own teams. I think we all basically wanted just a big thank you to all the listeners, all the viewers. I think it was a bit blown away with the support and the reaction to the first video. None of us expected it to be this big at all. I think we're over 7,000 views now on YouTube, 1,700 subscribers. The Instagram's been popping off. Our Instagrams have been popping off and the social. My TikTok's just been flooded with comments about the podcast, everyone loving it. So, yeah, boys, we really appreciate the support. And it's just, we've got so many ideas and plans for the podcast, which at the end we're going to kind of cover. So we're not going anywhere. We're going to be uploading probably twice a week to keep you boys entertained in lockdown. But I don't know if you guys want to say something, Elle.
Thanks for all the support, lads. There's been a lot of engagement on Instagram, obviously on YouTube, a lot of engagement. So, you know, we're chuffed a bit. Yeah, loads of ideas. So stick with us and hopefully things will go on the up.
Yeah, just keep liking, sharing, subscribing. It's been massive so far. So really enjoying it. Big up, Masalas.
Super. Yeah, viva la Masala. You keep flooding Joe Cole as well. We're going to cover that again at the end, but just keep flooding Joe Cole. We want him on. We want Cole. Hashtag we want Cole.
We want Cole. Come on.
Right then, straight into the weekend review. I think we'll start with Friday night. Did anyone watch the Leeds-Wolves game?
I didn't. Not the whole 90 minutes, just to catch up.
I'm going to be honest.
El, we're meant to be doing a football podcast. You're not even watching footy.
I was...
Basically like a job, El.
Huh? Yo, you were uploading the video?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, El.
Take it back.
But lads, Elliot had not his fault, but we had a nightmare Friday uploading with copyright. On the last video, when we say, oh, put the clip up about Lauren, that was obviously meant to go on, but YouTube took it down, so we just had to get rid of it. It was just an absolute nightmare. But hopefully now we've done it once, it'll be a lot smoother. But
yeah.
I think Leeds, we all predicted Leeds to win, didn't we, on Friday?
Yeah.
They missed a few chances. It was a decent game. It was quite tactical, I thought. But Wolves got a bit of a lucky goal. It was a great strike.
I saw the goal, yeah.
If you're Melier, the GK there, like, them goals are so jarring, like, bouncing off the post. He's, like, he's not even on the line. He's on, like, the six-yard box. He's bouncing that way out. And then
I think the best bit about it as well is because, you know, Adama's hitting, like, one out of 250 of those that actually hit a target. So, one's hit a target and come off the back of him. So I'm lucky.
Even that, he shanked. He didn't even hit it properly. It was just like he's so shit, man. His technique is horrific, but goal's a goal at the end of the day. So I think we'll swiftly move on. I think we all watched the Southampton-Chelsea, didn't we? In our chat, we were on about it.
Yeah.
It's a weird game, I thought. I just thought Chelsea, they're so slow building up.
Yeah, that's like Tuchel ball, isn't it? Like, just so much possession, so much, like, I don't know, like, obviously it's good holding onto the ball and having the ball, but I feel like, especially in that game, they just sort of didn't play with much of a purpose, like, with a proper...
No, they've got no penetration, really. No. Like, they've got no one... Like, I don't know, like a Hazard when they had, or a David Silva type who will feed that final ball in. It's just a bit lethargic. It's like possession for having just the sake of it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? There's no intent. I don't know what you thought, Carl.
Yeah, I don't know. I think the thing that Tuchel's obviously gone in and changed like straight away is that they're actually pretty... Is it gone already? Sorry.
That was really delayed response.
No. It was a delayed response.
Mate, my internet's going funny.
You're sweet.
Yeah, you're all right.
All right, I'll go again.
Go again.
Yeah, anyway, Tuchel ball, obviously, he's. I think he's coming and actually made a bit of a positive impact already. So whether or not it's possession just for the sake of it, he's gone there and he's got a point. It's a difficult place to go at the moment. So, you know, I'll take it as it is. Chelsea are up there again, so.
Yeah, to be fair, like you say, that was a very political answer, Cal. A bit boring, but you are right, I suppose. It's like you say, Southampton aren't an easy side to beat. They haven't been in great form, but they're still not an easy side to beat. So points better than nothing. But yeah, I don't think
you just know that Frank would have gone there and just either have smashed them or got spanked as well. Yeah, so it's kind of like you know what you're gonna get.
Yeah, true. That's very true. I think we'll move on. There was nothing really to talk about. I didn't think major points unless you guys had anything. Right now, Burnley Albion. I think you both watched that, didn't you?
Yeah, I watched it.
Clips at least.
Yeah.
Well, I think I'll start.
Yeah, it's the crack.
I mean, it's just typical. It's why we are where we are. I'm under no illusions, but you can't miss. I'm not even exaggerating. I think you'll agree. We could have won that 4 or 5 nil. No joke. Like, we genuinely, the chances we had were so clear cut. But I've seen a load slating Mike Dean. The red card for me is 100% a red card. Does everyone agree with that?
Yeah, easy. Yeah, no doubt.
It's 100% a red card. But what I don't like is the inconsistency. Like, someone made a good point saying Saka had the same one against Villa and they only got booked. And that was closer to the goal. So it's a bit like, I agree Ajayi should have been sent off, but so should the one on Saka. That is what people get annoyed with, not the lack of consistency.
I think that's this whole season though, hasn't it been? It's been so inconsistent.
Yeah, 100%.
There's no given. So you just don't know what you're going to get.
But then I also think we got lucky because they should have had a penalty. I thought that was a handball on Bartley.
Oh, yeah. I saw that. Yeah. I don't know. Handballs, man. It's such a grey area, isn't it? Like,
it is. But the way I viewed it is, I don't like the ones where you're a yard away and they're fired at you. Even if your arms are like that, what can you do? Mm. Bartley had a lot of time. His hand didn't even need to be there in the first place. It's not like he was jumping. He was just in the box. He was bouncing slowly. And then it came up, hit him. For me, that's a penalty. Others, obviously, the referees didn't agree. But then you see other ones where players are a yard away, like I said, fired at them, hits their arm, and it's a penalty. So, again, like you say, it's such a grey area. But as for the game, I thought Albion played well. Again, there's two games in a row now we should have won. We should have beat United, Burnley, and we've come away with 2 points, and that is why we are going down.
Mate, who missed that chance at the end?
Pereira.
That strike. Yeah, oh my God.
The thing with that, right, it was a bad miss, but Pereira was running full pelt and it was just a bit behind him, just a bit.
But I don't think he needed to run full pelt, did he? Did he need to get in that quickly? There's so much space around him.
Yeah.
The ball's coming across.
Yeah. The one I was annoyed, Diarne did brilliantly, chopped him, came in, chopped him, unreal. Then it was harder to hit the bar than score. I just didn't know. Then Maitland-Niles had one.
The one that... I think it was when Pereira sort of got put through and he chopped and he was done. I was like, go on, bury it with your right foot. And then he chopped again. Yeah.
Oh, it's because he doesn't trust his right foot, I don't think, which is probably a downfall in Pereira's game. He's so left-footed. But it is what it is. Like the first half, I was thinking, I was laughing because Cal said on the last one, absolute snorefest, and it was. The ball was just in the air, in the air. But I thought the second half was actually quite entertaining.
No, the second half was decent.
The amount of chances you lot had, it sort of made the second half quite exciting, considering you had 10 as well. It sort of turned into a bit of end-to-end, didn't it?
I just want to touch on that as well. Obviously, I'm talking the most for this just because it's Albion, but I thought I was watching it with my missus's dad, who's a Wolves fan. We were saying when we went down to 10, I wasn't too worried because Burnley aren't the type to stretch you or knock you side to side, get you really tight. No matter if you play with 2 men or 11 men, Burnley are going to play the same rugged, structured way. They're going to try and hit long or try and get crosses in. And I felt if we can just stay compact and then hit them on the break with as many numbers as we can with the one less man, I thought we had a chance. And it did turn out that way. I don't know what you guys think of that with the way Burnley play.
Yeah.
I enjoy watching them. I'll tell you that.
The thing with Burnley, no dice slander though, please. Not on here.
No, I love the man, but yeah, I don't enjoy watching them.
The thing with Burnley, like, they're one of them teams that, I don't know, when you watch them, you can, like, you know for a fact the way that they play, but also, yeah. I don't think it's as like hoofball and as direct as people think, because I think similarly to like the way I remember in one of your TikToks you say about how Allardyce likes to play in terms of hitting specific areas on the pitch.
Yeah, yeah.
What Burnley do a lot is you see like the right back will get the ball, he'll play it to the right mid, he'll set him, and then it's a ball straight in the box, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or the centre mids like Ashley Westwood and that Brownhill will always come on the curve round to the winger, yeah. He'll set him, then they'll whip a ball in. So like it's constant, it's like structured, but I mean, I'm not with it because they get results, don't they? Like,
it is very lazy to say it is just two ball because they don't. Obviously, they are quite direct, but also what they do a lot is they'll either have the right back or the centre mid or fire into one of the big men up front who then sets it wide and they turn in, don't they? So, like you say, it is quite structured, but yeah, it's just typical Albion. We just can't,
whatever
we do
works,
it every week.
That's what it is. It's whatever works.
Precisely. It's just typical Albion. We do it every week, miss absolute sitters and then cry about not winning, but. We're going to Liverpool, Everton, Merseyside derby. I think me and Cal thought Liverpool would pop them, but it was anything but.
I mean, I said 2-2, but I mean, Liverpool struggled really, didn't they? Like,
what's your thoughts on Liverpool, lads?
Thiago apparently did 17 Olays though, so lads.
Yeah, I saw a stat. He did 176 points of the finger at players, so he got finger of the game, I think, supposedly.
Finger of the game.
Yeah.
It's a bit weird. Edit that.
Go on.
Fucking hell, I'm telling you. I don't know what to make of them, lads. Obviously, it's
so weird.
It's Virgil van Dijk. That's why. There's no Virgil van Dijk.
Mate, you can put it down to it as much as possible, but I mean, I don't think it helps having like Henderson back there, not in his natural positions, and now he's out for a while, and it's not looking promising, is it?
Yeah, those two centre-halves look pony as well.
Yeah, that new lad, Kabak, just looks a bit like, just a bit sketchy, doesn't he? Like, he's a bit erratic.
I feel bad for him, mate. He's very young as well, and he's come from a shocking side. Oh, my God.
What?
I'm only joking, Sammy, if you're watching, but he does run as slow as you.
Can we talk about Salah's dives though? By the way,
I've had enough of him. They should send him off. Fuck him off.
I just want to say, Mo, if you are listening, and you probably at one point come across our podcast, this is to Mo Salah, not Mo Farah. Mo Salah, this is. Just stop diving, mate. Like, you don't need to do it. You really don't need to do it. And I think he's a lovely bloke as well. And he's probably an unreal person. And the more he dives, the more I want to cave his head in. So,
no, I quite rate it from him. If he was on my team, I'd love it.
Okay, can we just cover the penalty? I just want a yes or no. Elliot penalty.
Yeah.
Cal.
Never. Never.
Are you joking?
No. Can I?
Stonewaller.
No. Can I say I understand? I understand what you're saying, Cal. Because when it happened, I turned to my old man and we were like, I was like, nah, that can't be a pen. Like, that will go to VAR. And he was like, yeah. Because Trent has slid, and then it's like the second phase after that he's then tipped Calvert-Lewin up like unintentionally. Calvert-Lewin's kneaded the back of his head and fallen over.
Still a foul.
But yeah. I'm sort of. Was reading like other people's thoughts on it on Twitter today, and one guy put it perfectly. He was like, the thing with Trent's foul, supposedly, was like, anywhere else on the pitch, whether you intentionally or accidentally foul someone or like trip them up, it's still a foul. Like, I could accidentally run into someone and it'll be a foul. Like, he's brought Calvert-Lewin down in the box, stopped a tapping. Whether he was there like unintentionally or not, he's still at the end of the day, he's stopped him from scoring a goal. Like, it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, it's one of them, and it, like, I think for me, it's got to be a penalty because of that reason, but I can understand how people would be a bit like, oh, come on, give him a break, but...
Cal?
No, I actually haven't seen many angles of it, I can't lie, but I do just hate the Trent slander, and it's just continually going on, and it's just
this isn't a personal loving, a Trent, just...
No, I like him, mate. I want to see him on the plane for the Euros.
Is it a penalty?
Yeah, defo.
No, but the way I view it is, same as El. Look, at the end of the day, did Trent mean it? No. Does that matter? No. That's why he didn't get sent off, because there was no intent. But then what annoys me is David Luiz got sent off for no intent against Wolves. He didn't mean to trip him up, but he did. Still a penalty, and then he got sent off, so Trent should have been. So again, it comes back to inconsistency, but We'll move on to the next game. We'll go.
Oh, can I just say? Can I just say as well? The ref had Liverpool fans pants down, didn't he? He was like, "I'm gonna go look at the screen, gone over and gone, yeah."
Really did.
I don't even think also, he went up there like that, didn't he? Didn't even look at it. It was like, yeah.
It's funny though, because I don't know how Liverpool fans have the nerve to whinge about penalties when they've got that.
Yeah, it's nuts.
I can't.
They've got that. And they've got that dirty prick up front.
Yeah, let's move on. Come on, he's
sorry. Sorry, I do really like Mo Salah as a player, but Mo, if you're watching, fuck you. Fulham Sheffield United. I'm not gonna lie, I had a few drinks Saturday night and I missed the game. I haven't even seen the goal, but I did see the replay of the absolute stonewall assault on the Sheffield United player. Fuck me. I don't. Again, we're just talking about referees. What are they playing at?
Yeah, like I think I've seen. I think there's been a couple of instances like this with goalies, right? And I think with goalies, that some penalties aren't given just because the goalie gets a touch on the ball. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's nicked it through Areola's legs, and it is Areola's kind of. The ball's hit his leg, so you'd assume, oh, he's won the ball, but that's totally not the case. Like, he's kicked it to Areola, and then Areola's steamed through and gone through him. Like, that's a certain penalty for me.
Yeah, he's absolutely caned him, isn't he?
He got arrested afterwards. He got arrested for GBAs, but he didn't get a penalty. Fucking unreal. But, mate, like we said last week, Fulham, Scotty Parker, like shagging again, surely, on the night.
100%.
100%. 100%.
He took Areola. He took Areola to the brass house with him after to say thank you for that.
But I tell you what, the issue is with Fulham that I actually really really like them. But if they did stay up, they've have got a lot of loanees, haven't they? Their actual top players are loanees, like Lookman, Ruben Loftus-Cheek.
Yeah, some of their best players as well.
I'm pretty sure a lot of them.
Lookman. I thought they'd signed Lookman.
No, I think he's on loan from Leipzig, isn't he?
That's it. I was thinking from Everton. I thought they signed him from Everton, but they sold him to Leipzig, didn't they? But yeah, fucking... Yeah, like you fuck Fulham, man.
And the thing is if Fulham stays up as well, do you imagine if they get the fans back in next year and they're all going mental, crowds going crazy? You know what it's like with Fulham at Craven Cottage? It's nuts.
You know what it's like? You know what it's like in that neutral stand? It goes off.
Yeah, mate, I'll tell you what. We'll get on to today's game.
That's gone.
Right. So actually, before we go on to today's game, Cal, do you want to talk to me about the Mighty R's with Charlie Austin and Sam Field? Absolutely rinsing your Saturday.
Mate, we're shocking. We've got Jonathan Woodgate as well to the end of season.
So oh, you that's have?
Fantastic. Yeah. So we sacked off Thierry Henry. I mean, who wants one of the best looking blokes in football to come manager? We'd rather have Jonathan Woodgate.
Don't give it loads.
Hey, there'll be no Woody slander in this podcast, all right? Jonathan Woodgate is a legend.
He was a good player.
If you are listening, mate, just jump on the poddy for a little bit. But we're pretty shocking, mate. Lost 2-1, but it was two terrible mistakes out of back and just giving goals away, mate. It's just pony, really.
Did Austin score?
No, I don't think so.
I've got a good story on Jonathan Woodgate quickly if you want to hear it.
Yeah, go on then, lad.
It's not that great, but a lad I used to work with, he seen him in Ocean Beach once in his own private room. He said there was other footballers there, but he's not into football, so he doesn't really know. They managed to like sneak in through someone who was there, and apparently they were just absolutely off their chops, all of them. Like Woodgate was just like a snow monster.
Yeah, he loves it, doesn't he?
And you hear a lot of people say Woodgate's apparently like really funny and a good laugh on a night out.
Yeah,
all of his interviews, sounds a really good bloke, to be fair. So
there's a Crease story as well, actually, that Peter Crouch told at Stoke, when Woodgate was at Stoke, like towards the end of his career. Pulis played him right back in a game. And he was getting absolutely torn to shreds in literally the first 10, 15 minutes, torn a new one, like getting beaten every time. And he brought a lad down, got a yellow card. And then the next time the lad went at him, he gave a penalty away, but didn't get another yellow. And then Pulis dragged him. And when Woodgate come off, he was like, yeah, class decision, gaffer. he was having that much of a stinker.
Hey, underrated player though.
I was just about to say, Woodgate was so underrated.
Mate, at Spurs, him and King, centre-half partnership. Wow.
Oh, unreal. Two of the most underrated centre-halves in Premier League history, I'd say those two, definitely.
Yeah, I'll take that.
Ledley King was different fucking gear. Right, we'll move on to today's game. Then we'll start with you, then, Al. Do you want to tell us about the mighty Spurs getting done again? Decent second half performance, though.
Yeah. I mean, I called it, didn't I?
Don't cry.
2-1 West Ham.
Yeah, God. He's been on Stellars all day.
Yeah, you did 24. Call 2-1, didn't you?
Yeah, I called it. But, yeah, I mean, again, like I was saying last week, a lot of people questioning Mourinho now after today. It's a weird one, man. Like, Dier was pretty poor today. I think him and Lloris were probably at fault for the goal, and Sanchez.
I thought Lloris was at fault for the first goal.
That's coming in like that, in swinger. Keepers, you got to be looking for your keeper. Just come through everyone. Yeah. That, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Give it the old Superman. Just go straight through everyone.
But, yeah, but Lloris has never been that kind of keeper, is he, really? He's not very brave.
You say that. Yeah, no, I think he is brave, but he's sort of quite a smart keeper, isn't he? Like, normally, like, our centre-halves, like, you know, stick their head on it. But, yeah, I mean, I'm sorry, but I watched the goal back a few times. It is so poor. Like, and Antonio, I mean, it even hits Lloris and then it sort of sits down and there's no one around him. Like, it's just poor, isn't it? But... And then, literally, he brings off Lamella, who was probably our best player in the first half, which I thought was probably the wrong decision. And Tanganga...
You love Lamella, though.
Huh?
You love Lamella, though. You'd never take him off.
Nah, never. As I said, I tweeted the other day, he is an absolute shithouse. I love him. I absolutely love him. He's one of them players that has, like, maximum aggression, but he can't tackle. So, like, he'll go and just give out 100 fouls a game. Like, he's unreal. I've got so much.
Mate, we'll do an episode on the biggest shit houses in football, because that is,
yeah, that's unreal. A shame. There's so many. Obviously, we all know ones from our own clubs as well that are just hilarious. Like Jakob. Just quickly on Jakob, I remember one of the first conversations me and Elliot had when he found out I was around. He was like, oh, I used to fucking hate that Jakob, that dirty bastard.
Oh, mate, it was that game against Spurs that he spat. That's on, wasn't it?
Yeah, so, well, yeah. Alleged.
It's on TV. It can't be that.
There's video evidence, but you know what people do with technology these days.
Yeah, yeah, it's terrible, you know, really.
Come on, Cal, you're better than that. We don't go spreading lies on this podcast. We'll go, quickly as well, on West Ham Spurs. Which was the better nearly goal, Bales or mine against Millersville?
I remember yours against Millersville.
Oh, fuck you, Cal. We'll put the clip up. L, put the clip up.
Yeah. Cal, you don't remember against Millersville, comes across right side of the box and Gaz has hit it on
the volley. Oh, yeah, that was so nice. Yeah, that was really nice.
I mean, I'm going to say yours, Gaz, because that was like Bale's goal away at Stoke. Remember that he scored for Spurs?
Oh, yeah. No. No, Bale's was a lot harder. Someone actually asked me today on my live, what's the best Premier League goal ever? And I said one of the most underrated ones is Bale's. That goal is insane, how he gets his foot up like that. But, yeah, we'll
Are West Ham up for top four, though, by the way? Is there any chance?
They've got to be, like... The form that they're on, you know what I mean? If they carry that on, then they've got every reason to do it. I fucking hate to say it, because I've got so much stick today. And I'm going to be honest, I am fuming. I might show it, but I am fuming.
They're 2 points clear of Chelsea with the same amount of games. So, mate, if they just keep winning. It's all right saying, oh, they're going to drop off. But who's going to catch them? Maybe Chelsea. Chelsea are probably the only ones. Then it's Liverpool. I don't think so. Everton are too inconsistent, I think. Villa without Grealish or Fulham. Tottenham, no. Arsenal, no. So, like, mate, I think they'll get top six.
What a job from David Moyes, mate. What a job.
Yeah. Manager of the season.
He's got to be up there, isn't he?
Yeah.
Im Rogers.
Mourinho. Ed,
maybe. Scotty P. Dyche.
Scotty P.
We'll go.
No, but can I just say something more on Spurs? What I think, like, I've always sort of defended managers, unless they're like mental, like Felix Magath for Fulham. But you know what I mean? Like,
Mourinho.
With Mourinho, like, I see people caning him online and stuff, but I mean, we've all played the game. Like, Mourinho picks the team, right? The lads have been so poor. Like,
Yeah.
Players have been so poor. You can tell on the side, Mourinho's in the technical area, like you can see him just screwing, like what are my team doing? Like what is that? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like he sets really high standards. And if the lads don't go out and do it, like what can he do? He can question the lads, you know what I mean? And obviously I think people say like, oh, they're still playing for Mourinho. I think second half, yeah, 100% they were still playing.
Yeah.
They were still pushing and I think Bale made a massive difference and I like to see him play a lot more now, starting wise. Oh, where's Calvin?
In the washing machine.
Yeah, Cal, you left us for a second there, mate.
Yeah, I don't know what happened there.
Oh, it's all right. When Al, obviously Al's going to put that clip up of my one and we'll compare it to Bale's. And then we'll put all Cal's got. Oh shit! No, he hasn't got any. We'll move on.
Do you want to put that one against UD? Fuck yeah! How many goals are you?
We'll put up
L's goals.
We'll put up L spoon in that one over the bar. Who's that against?
No, that was an unreal strike. It took a deflection. To be fair, I got footage of that.
Okay, we'll move on to Villa Leicester. Was an hour. It's just typical Leicester, just grinding out results again. They were the better side. Villa without Grealish. I will say it again. Off Fulham. Any Villa fans in these comments? You are Fulham without Grealish. He's so good. Any little comments on that game, lads?
Harvey Barnes, what a player, by the way.
England not squad. On the game as such, but yeah, Harvey Barnes, mate. He's got to be on there, isn't he?
Yeah,
get him on the plane at least.
Get him on the plane.
Get him on the plane, lad.
City Arsenal, did we all watch that?
Yeah.
City didn't get out of second gear. City, it was just too easy for him.
It's too easy.
I honestly reckon first half, Arsenal did max 30 passes. They just never had the ball at all.
They played against them like Albion played against them.
Yeah.
Serious. Like it was. Just, and they just at will were getting in behind just when they wanted, didn't get out of second gear. They're far too.
I'm surprised they only finished 1-0. To be fair, I was kind of thinking City would just batter them, but scoreline sort of says different.
I do want to talk about how Pepe cost 70 odd million. Oh, by the way,
yeah, I mean
it is just mental money.
Do you know
the poor
what?
Kid didn't choose his price tag, but who's scouting him? Yeah. For that amount of money.
Yeah,
I think it was I think Stevie Wonder scouted him. I think I read that somewhere.
No, I think
is he still at Arsenal?
Yeah. Ray Charles, the chief scout. It was I can see a player in him though. I don't know.
I can't see a world beater in him.
Yeah, I can see a player, no. A fucking shat one.
I don't know. I think Pepe's similar to Havertz for me at the minute. I kind of want saying that Pepe's he has been here quite a while now, hasn't he? Nearly two seasons.
Yeah, he's a bit older as well, isn't he?
I'm not having him. Right, we'll go. I think we all agree. City are going to win the league and the quadruple, which I called months ago.
They might win. Oh, they might win the Euros as well. They actually might.
No, I'm having Spurs for the league. Mourinho, one game, he'll have 11 people in the box, and then we'll score on a counter or something and win.
And then you'll wake up. Right, we'll go to Al. Al, we'll pass this on to you. Man United, good result for you tonight.
Go on, lads. Yeah, my second squad, Man United. Yeah, not bad, not a bad result to be fair, isn't it? St. Maximum, great goal, wasn't it?
So Al didn't even watch the game, even though he's a closet United fan. United, when I was watching them, Newcastle looked the better team first half. You know what United are missing? They've got no one who penetrates in between the lines. Like, Matic and Fred can't find Bruno Fernandes in the pockets he picks up ever. The centre-halves can't do it, and then the two in front can't do it. So Bruno's just constantly in space and never picking up the ball.
Do you think the only reason they play them two is because they've got the centre-backs that are pony, basically?
Yeah.
As in, probably. Maguire's decent enough, Lindelof's decent enough, but they haven't got any standout player that's going to protect them properly. So they've got to play two like solid centre mids that can just break up 100%. Players.
I'm going to put it out there. Yeah, I do like Lindelof, and I see a lot of United fans saying that they think their best centre half partnership is Maguire and Bailly.
Yeah,
and I'd be playing Bailly if I was Solskjaer. I know he's a bit mental, like genuinely.
I would as well.
He's mental, like really. Yeah. Mental. But, But where is that mental? Like, really mental. He's so, like, he's really composed on the ball. And, like, I've seen him, like, drive through into the midfield and, like, doing Cruyff turns in his six-yard box. Like, Lindelof's so safe with the ball. Like he's literally just right back Maguire, give it to the two sitting midfielders. Like, he don't look for them, like, driven passes through the gaps or anything. So, I mean...
And then he can't defend either, so he's really good.
Exactly what you want from centre-back. Come on.
Yeah, obviously we're recording this Sunday night, so we can't tell you about the Brighton game. But I'll tell you exactly what happened. Brighton absolutely had all the ball, created loads of chances, and then Palace won 1-0 at the end. Easy scored. So
Palace are in terrible form though, aren't they? But yeah, I think the Brighton thing's absolutely spot on. They should be goal scorer, mate. I'm saying it from now until the end of our lifetime.
Then what do you reckon Graham Potter said in the interview after, Tom?
He went, "Oh, hello." No, he probably went, "Fuck me, lads, I really need to lose these V plates because I'm a dirty virgin." He is the biggest virgin I've ever seen in my life, and let's have it right, you two. Have you ever seen a manager who looks more like a virgin than Graham Potter?
No, cause... I've seen one, but I can't name names.
No, you know what it is? He's waiting for marriage, Garrett. Let the man live, man. Come on.
Yeah, nothing against his religious beliefs. I'm just saying it. I'm just calling a spade a spade. He's a virgin. Right. Okay, we're going to move. That's about enough for the weekend review. Our predictions were, on the whole, shite.
Yeah.
So we're not even going to bother going over.
That's what I've given up on, football betting. Absolutely, yeah, pony.
That's why, don't follow us. I think we might sack off the predictions just because we don't want people losing money because of our... horrific.
We'll say we'll do it, but we'll say bet responsibly.
Only 50 quid. So we're going to move on to the next segment now, which is DBS. Now, when I first joined TikTok and kind of started to get a bit of a following, I kept seeing virgins in my comments saying DBS, DBS. And I was like, what the fuck is DBS? And I found out it means drop, bench, start. And I think it's quite a good little... thing to do, I suppose. So
I didn't have a clue what it was before I saw your videos. I was like, what is that?
So we asked people to put in their unpopular and drop bench starts. We're just going to do drop bench starts for today's episode. We'll do unpopular opinions another time. We've picked out a few, we've all had a look through, and we've picked out which ones we think are hard, and we're just basically going to go through drop bench start and just see who we all think of the three players. So I'll start with three. It's Drogba, Robin Van Persie and Jamie Vardy. Cal?
Oh. I'm dropping Jamie Vardy. The other two are actual world class. I'm starting Van Persie, I think. And then on the bench, Drogs.
Oh, it's so hard though, isn't it? It's so hard.
So hard. That's so hard.
I'm probably gonna do dropping Vardy, even though I think he's a legend, but
his levels.
Yeah. CRVP Drogs. Now, my most vivid memories of the Premier League is, well, from a striker's perspective, not only Rooney and them man, but Drogba man. He used to beat up teams, and I used to. He was one of them players that I wished was at Spurs, so I'd have to start him and then bench RVP.
See, I if I could, I'd sit on the fence, but you know me, I don't do that. Because I actually can't split them. They're very different players and they both destroy teams in their own way.
Yeah.
I'm only going to edge it RVP because of his technical ability. I just thought he was just... Yeah. That volley against Villa for United is just...
That's literally what I've won for as
anyone who plays the game knows how hard that is.
That volley was very hard. But what are your thoughts on Drogba's volley? He brings it down his chest against Liverpool. Yeah. Bang, left foot.
And then turns.
Unreal.
That volley is hard, man.
Not as hard as RVP's, no way.
Oh, yeah.
50-yard ping with snow on it, no way.
I'll agree, you've got to think about it.
And catching it overcoming your head as well.
Yeah, no. I mean, listen, I'll concede that. But Drogba's one, his back is to goal. He chests it forward and he's got to do like a 360 spin to volley it. Like, that's mad.
Yeah, unreal goal, but Van Persie's was better and harder. So you're wrong.
Yeah, he's also got control of the ball when he's chested it. So it's like,
yeah.
But Percy doesn't even know how it's coming. It's coming over his head and he's took it. Cheers.
And that header against Holland. I know it's not Premier League. I mean, for Holland against Spain.
Yeah, that was tasty.
So yeah, anyone else got some DBSs?
Yeah, I've got one. It's the one. So I've got Crespo, Shevchenko, Inzaghi, DBS. DBS, me boys.
I'll go first. Inzaghi is just an absolute legend, but
levels.
Through my love of AC Milan, his goals to game ratio. He played a lot of games and. He did score a lot of goals, but not as many as people think. He was like a proper poacher, but worked hard for the side, but he wasn't like a 25 goal guaranteed every season. He was like a bit inconsistent with his goals. So I'm unfortunately dropping Inzaghi. I'm benching Crespo and I'm starting Shevchenko. Because Shevchenko, I mean, I know it was literally around the time I was born, but I mean, he was banging in goals for Dynamo Kiev in the Champions League, like rolling over the big sides. Like,
he's one of the only three players to score at the new Camp. Patrick, isn't he?
Yeah, and then when he went to Milan, he was just a joke. Like, but yeah,
I'm the same as you. Inzaghi's bye-bye. He was even slower than me, which is odd. I think it's close between Crespo and Shevchenko, but I'll just go back to the old. Who do I think is the better footballer? And I think Crespo is a better footballer. And he did it in the Premier League a lot better than Shevchenko did.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
Yeah. I'm going the same as you guys.
I fucking loved Crespo.
He sort of was a little bit of a journeyman. He sort of jumped between clubs. He never was at a club for years and years, was he?
Yeah, but look at the clubs. He was at Parma when they were at the best. He got big money to Lazio. Then he got the move to Chelsea.
Yeah.
Then Milan, he's playing for like the best of the best. Crespo was a bore. You could say the same about Ibrahimovic, but that doesn't take away his brilliance, does it? Do you know what I mean? I think.
Yeah.
Milan, that was it. He went to Lazio, then Inter, or he was at Lodz. He was. So I'm starting Crespo and benching Shevchenko, but it is close.
Cal?
Yeah, I've gone the same as Gaz. I've gone starting Crespo, benching Shevchenko, Inzaghi. See ya.
See ya.
Well, clearly you're both deluded, so we'll just ignore that. Oh, my one. I'm going to go Busquets, Xavi Alonso, Pirlo, DBS.
Oh, I had that written down as well. That was a good one. I'll start with this one. Busquets is starting 100%. The most underrated player of all time in my lifetime, I think. I just think... Different gear, and I found this one quite easy. I'm starting Busquets, Pirlo's on the bench, and Alonso's Tatar. Alonso was a great player, but Pirlo was levels above him, I think. And Busquets for me is the best holding midfielder I've ever seen. So, and he played in he was part of the best team and the best midfield trio I've ever seen as well. So, Busquets.
What better than you, Yusuf Malumbu?
I meant in Spain. Come on.
Just clearing up.
No one. Are you. El, come on. Malumbu was. Don't get me started on that boy.
Yeah, I think I'm going to say this, Gaz. I think that's one of those questions where you think it's a lot less hard than it actually sounds, kind of thing at first look. Busquets, best midfield in our generation by a million miles. So, it's pretty easy. Yeah, start Busquets, bench Pirlo, and then. Xabi Alonso, bye-bye.
Yeah, well, I've chosen a shit one, really, because I'll go the same. So that's boring, isn't it? But yeah.
You've gone the same. I think, just quickly, on Busquets, the way I view Busquets is, if I'll ask someone an opinion on Busquets, and based on their answer is whether I ever speak to you about football again. If you tell me Busquets is shit or overrated, I don't want to speak to you because you don't understand football.
I was having this discussion with my pals the other day, He's so slow. He's so skinny. He's a pretty ugly fella. Not that that matters, but you know, like if you're going to be a world beater, you've got to have a decent
He's packing though, I reckon.
Yeah, because he's skinny. The skinny tall lads. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's untouchable. Like that game against PSG, they had a lot of the ball, but mate, he'll have like two people around him, just a simple ball roll, he's out. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
that's why I rate him more. Players with no pace to play at that level. It's like David Silva, players like that. Like Xavi wasn't fast. Iniesta was good, fast with the ball, but I wouldn't say he was fast. That's why I rate those players even more, because to play at that level with no pace. I mean, we played at a half decent level, nothing like that. And even we would say, God, when you do get fast players, it's like fucking hell. But Busquets, like he always did that one little drag back roll, didn't he? He's just unreal. I think we'll do one more each. Yeah, we'll go around one more time. So I'll go. This is a good one because Elliot won't know what to do with this, and I know he won't. Zidane, Ronaldinho, Kaká. We'll start with you, Cal. Give Elson some thinking time to try and fit. He's going to try and fit Kaká in somehow.
I should go for it again, Gaz.
Zidane, Ronaldinho, Kaká.
That's so hard. I'm going to go Zidane start just because he is probably one of the best midfielders. They all are so good, that's the thing, but I wouldn't play Ronaldinho in a solid just a 10, do you know what I mean, as a usual, the way we saw him as a kid.
So I'd start
Zidane.
Oh my God.
I'm benching Ronaldinho. And
you went really funny then, Carl. Do that again.
Oh, okay.
Oh my God.
Oh, last week was me.
I'm starting Zidane. You're
starting Zidane, benching Ronaldinho, and you're sacking off my mate Kaká. We'll just ignore that one. For me, it is hard, isn't it? I'd have to agree with Cal. Listen, I'm starting Zidane. Allegiances aside, I'm starting Zidane purely for like longevity and the fact that I think he's probably one of the most underrated people in terms of the greatest of all time conversation.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm starting Zidane. See, Ronaldinho, he was a joke. Like,
he was, man.
I think he's like one of the three people that I fell in love with football just watching the videos, the Yoga Bonita online, like YouTube.
Yeah.
He made football like a joke. But
so
I think at the top level, he was really only there for 2 or 3 years. Even when he went to Milan after Barca, he was still good. But, I mean, you hear stories about him. He just didn't give a fuck, did he? But,
yeah. Could you not argue that the same with Kaká, though?
No.
In terms of being at the very, very top. He was only there for about 3 or 4 years.
No. I'm going to say with Kaká, he's on my bench. I'm benching Kaká because he's my guy. Also, whoever commented saying I look like malnourished Kaká, yeah, you know who you are. Your dad wears jeans to the gym, right? I'm just putting that out there.
What about the guy who said you look like Neil from The Entertainers?
Neil!
What a great guy.
Yeah, also, you too, your old man puts sugar in his tea before he puts milk in, all right? So I'm having that, all right? Anyway, I'm benching Kaká. You know why? Because I think, other than Modric won the Ballon d'Or the other year, deservedly so, Kaká's probably the last human to win it, and that was in 07, when it before Messi and Ronaldo. Yeah. Like, that year, he was a phenomenon. And I think he did carry it on for Milan. I was gutted when he went to Real Madrid because I think he could have carried it on and become like a Maldini figure at Milan. But injuries just killed him at Madrid, properly killed him. And he still put up decent numbers for Madrid. If you actually look into it, like the goals he scored in the seasons he played mostly, he put up some good numbers. And Madrid's just a hard place to go, isn't it? Like, if you don't cut it there, like, it's so ruthless. But So hold on 1 second.
Oh, for God's sake!
So this is just a shout out to my boy Kaká. You're the man.
Kaká, cut it back.
What a man!
Yeah. Oh, fair play.
Yeah. Oh, good goal. Right, just quickly on Kaká, L. I know what you mean going on stats. His numbers at Madrid were decent and that still, but stats aside, he was nowhere near the player and the impact of Milan. When he was at Milan, fuck, I used to think. One thing about Kaká, I think we've discussed this before, people never talk about how fast he was, how like he was really powerful and direct. Same with Gerrard. Gerrard never gets labelled as fast. He was rapid, players like that. I don't know why. I think it's because they're white. I don't know. No, players like that just don't tend to fucking...
I think it's more like with Kaká and Gerrard, like it's all about their strides. Like you mentioned the word power. Like they weren't like Aaron Lennon, like proper like zippy off the mark.
But like,
when they got going, like driving at people, they were unstoppable.
Yeah. Really, like a Bale, I suppose. But I'm the same as Kaká. If I was doing this purely on ability, Ronaldinho would start. But like you say, those 2-3 years, although it was only 2-3 years, they were two or three best years or fun years I've ever had watching football. He was just so fun to watch. But yeah, Zidane has to start. Ronaldinho on the bench, and then Kaká dropping, which is harsh, but it is what it is. Right, we've just had a little debate, and I think we've got time for just a few unpopular opinions. Considering I did tell everyone we were going to do unpopular opinions this episode, I think it's only fair that we do. So again, we'll just go round again. I'll pick up a few ones. I do want to bring one up straight away because it'll be good for Elliot and Cal to speak because I know how much they love this player. But one of the unpopular opinions I had was that Beckham's overrated. Now, the guys, all he said was Beckham's overrated. And I said, look, I'm going to need more context or give me something more so I can put it to the lads to argue your case, playing devil's advocate. And he basically said, look, he was never as good as he was made out to be. In this day and age, in today's game, he'd just be like a right back, a standard right back. And his main reason was just basically he just didn't think Beckham was as good as he was made out. So, L.
First of all, your dad wears jeans at the gym too, whoever said that. But the thing with Beckham, I think you see a lot of ex-United players that played with him say, because he was so famous and such a like a Hollywood name within or just the world in general, that actually took some shine off of how good of a player he was. Like
bingo.
He was an unbelievable player and it was just a bonus just about how much of a household name he was. He was fit. He was energetic, like up and down that right wing. His delivery was a joke. His passing. He had a world he misses as well. But yeah, his passing. Like, he was so pivotal in that United team, as well as the England team. But,
that was it. I've just remembered more he said. He said basically all... He said, if you go back and watch old England games, old Man United games, all he ever used to do was give the ball away, trying to play the Hollywood pass, this and that, just saying. And I don't know if you want to carry on that, Al.
No, yeah, just briefly, like, I think, and that's actually come into a lot of criticism with Trent at the moment, because I think that I draw a lot of similarities between them two in terms of their delivery and their passing choices, like whipping the balls round the back, even like as deep as in their own half, they'll whip balls round the back of the other team's defence and stuff. People with unbelievable passing abilities will try crazy passes and they won't come off. So the chances are their pass completion rate might not be as good as someone that just does 5-yard passes. So like that's part and parcel of being one of the best distributors in the game, I think. And with Beckham... All you've got to do is go on and just type in Beckham best crosses, Beckham best passes, and you'll just see it like for your own eyes. Like some of the balls he pulled off. Like, I'm sorry, I can't have the fact that he was overrated. And even the set pieces, like people say, you know, there's loads of people that were set piece specialists, but
not like that.
In crucial moments, like that free kick against Greece, like if anyone's going to do that, it's going to be Beckham. And like, just for me, that basically upholds how good he was, you know.
Carl?
Yeah, I agree with everything else said. But I think the like same thing as well. You don't play in the same teams that he did without being just average. You don't play for that best United team ever and then get a move to Real Madrid and do all the things that he did by being average. Because every average Joe would do it otherwise. The stuff that he achieves is just ridiculous. And I think that the fame and how good looking he is and how much he probably looks a bit like me probably puts him under the radar a bit.
Yeah, he does like you a bit, to be fair, if he was homeless for 7 months. Look, I'm exactly the same as you. I can't have Beckham overrated at all. I agree with Elle saying, I actually think he was underrated because of his fame and his kind of Hollywood persona, this and that. That actually took away from how good of a player he was. If you actually go back, obviously we lived through him, so we know. Beckham was never out of like the top three best players in his position ever. He was always, apart from, I mean, at his peak, he was always one of the best right midfielders in the world. Always, he was always in the debate for Ballon d'Or, or I think he was always in the top 10 kind of thing. I think the few times he finished top three, top five. So I can't have that one bit. Beckham wasn't overrated. Like Cal said, the teams he went to, things he won. And he even went to, I know, again, it's always, it's Saka, but he even went to the MLS and won things with LA Galaxy, kind of turned them into a winning side. So, yeah, I'm not having that one bit. Has anyone else got any more unpopular opinions? Some funny ones, maybe?
Else?
There was one that I saw that was Arsenal will win the Premier League in 4 years, in the next 4 years.
Should we just move on?
I'm sick of it. I'm sick of it. Everything to do with Arsenal. I hate that.
Listen, I've got a lot of time for your enthusiasm and your enthusiasm and your confidence. Whoever said that, because that is a fucking unpopular opinion. Because I don't know anyone else who believes that. I mean, like you could. I don't know, like. They could progress in the next 4 years, but they've got so much catching up to do with the bigger sides at the moment. Like
it's genuinely like saying at the minute Aston Villa will win it in the next 4 years and people would piss their pants at that. Just because Arsenal are a household name, it doesn't mean anything. If you actually just watch them and look at their team, they have got no chance. They won't win it in the next 10, so move on. Cal, don't even bother wasting your breath.
Okay, so I got one. Yeah. So the one that I saw was Mason Mount should be starting for England at the Euros. So that'd be over Grealish or Foden, whoever that may be, in general.
Out.
Was that your answer, guys?
You know what? Actually, all right, Mason Mount. He's actually changed my mind on him.
Baller.
I really have changed my mind on him this season. He's really impressed me. He's 100% in the squad.
Yeah.
I wouldn't start him, but would I be fuming if he started? Probably not. But no way should he be playing over Grealish or Foden for me. No way.
I second that. I think he's actually in this current Chelsea team. He's like pivotal. I think he's like a really good.
Yeah.
He's really good for him. And like you said, I think he's changed my opinion of him. I think he's a really good player, really good player. Same as you. If he started, I'd be like, whoa, there's other people to start. But I think he'd do a good job. Like, he's a good player, so I wouldn't be against it. But
there's one thing I can say is that at his age, he's basically probably Chelsea's best player at this current point
definitely.
On form.
Yeah, definitely.
So, I don't know what he's doing at Chelsea now. Is he doing better than what Grealish is doing at Villa? Or what is he doing better what Foden's doing at City? I don't know.
I think Grealish
is a lot more important to his team than the other two, definitely. You've seen Villa today. They were poor today without Grealish. Yeah. Just quickly on Grealish, the thing with him, just to go into it a bit more deeper, what people don't understand about Grealish, and it showed today, when Grealish plays, he either attracts two players to him, so someone's freed up, or he'll beat whoever he's on one-on-one, so then that drags one player out, so people are open. Or he gets fouled and they've got a free kick in a decent position. He always does something. He either gets fouled or does something. He rarely ever gives the ball away, you know. He is so
I think he'd be horrible. Really. He'd be horrible to play against, really.
Yeah.
Over like almost anyone in the Prem, I think he'd be the worst.
He makes it look easy, man. Like,
Very
rarely. He's not like doing loads of tricks and skills. He's literally just teasing the player and he like touches and then just goes past them. Like, it's nothing. Like,
I said to someone on my TikTok, I was like, you need to see him live. I know he's in that podcast, wasn't it? But the first time I seen him live was the playoffs against us. And okay, we had James Morris and Chris Brown, but they're still like decent pros. Like, he goes past them like they're not there. And you see, and he's not like fast, but he just glides, man. And like Coach Nick says, the best players glide. So at the end of the day, he's an absolute baller, but I hate the fact he's at Villa. I have just got a quick one on that to follow on. One of the other unpopular opinions I saw was Jack Grealish is the best player in the Premier League.
That's unpopular for a reason, mate. I think it's absolutely wrong. How could it be more wrong, to be honest? That's actually pissed me off.
Hey, Cal, come on, man.
Sorry, I've had one too many of these.
Yeah, you're...
I mean, as long as De Bruyne, Fernandes, Kane, Son, Eric Dier in the Premier League, like he can't.
Ajayi.
Callum Wilson.
Oh,
he's not your mate. Anymore.
Yeah.
I saw him down the beach. He said hello. That's
Are you going to say this every episode?
We can make it a thing if you want. If you're not going to say he's not my mate, I'm going to say he is my mate.
Oh, right. Anyone else got any unpopular? Al, you got any? You saw?
How many have we done? Two? Three?
Two and a half.
Done two each.
The Grealish one was a bit.
Right, we'll do one. Okay.
You can do one.
Okay. Scotland will beat England.
I've seen this. And the bloke, was it in our DM?
Yeah.
And he explains himself, doesn't he? So just for context for everyone, his reasoning was basically, he said, Scotland are going to beat England at the Euro. So I said, look, again, we need more context. We can discuss it with the lads. And he was like, look, we've got this lad up front. I don't quite remember his name. And we've got Tierney, Robertson. I just think like, we've got Steve Clarke all set up better than Southgate would. And he's probably going to play T-Rex Arms and Mason Mount because he's clueless. I mean, I'm sorry, lads. If we'd, I actually went and looked at Scotland's last game. I think they lost to Israel. And they play Robertson left back and I think Tierney ahead of him. And if we don't beat that Scotland side, we are in serious trouble.
When your two best players are left backs, like, come on.
Yeah.
I was Will Mew's best left back. Are you kidding?
You're our
best player. I was left back.
Yeah, you were our best left back.
You were left back in the physio room.
you were our best left back because we only had one left back.
Oh God,
mate! It'd be great if they did. But,
what?
Yeah.
Hang on. Yeah. So just for the viewers, I can't believe I've got to explain this. Callum thinks he's Irish. It's really weird. So Callum was born and raised in England. Just he's got Irish family. He disassociates himself with England. It's fucking weird. I remember watching a rugby game with him. England versus Wales, and he was cheering for Wales. And Wales would get a try, and he turns to me going,
No, but the thing is, his family aren't
human, I'll tell you that.
His family aren't even Irish. His old man literally.
I don't even care.
His old man met Robbie Keane once, and all of a sudden he's Irish. Like, what does that mean?
He met Robbie Keane, had a pint of Guinness, and suddenly, fucking hell, some County Kildare. I think I think that'll wrap it up for the main segment of the podcast. I think we've absolutely smashed it, to be fair on that. We're just going to move on to the final part. First of all, again, like I said, please just go and spam Joe Cole. We really, really, really want to get Joe Cole on. We want Cole. Hashtag we want Cole. We just think it'll be hilarious. And we think he'll take it funny that it's kind of inspired the name by him. As for kind of the future guests and stuff, I think we're going to probably do one or two more episodes, just those three lads, what do you reckon, and then start introducing lads. Obviously I've got a few big TikTokers that I've been messaging, and they're like buzzing to come on, some football TikTokers. We've got Paddy Murphy, Lewis the Crazy Gooner. They're both decent lads. They know what they're on about. But also we were on about doing a series, so like we might do like one normal episode like this week, and then another episode like we'll have an American series. So we'll all discuss like roles and experiences going over to America, our time there, all the funny stories and experiences we've shared over there. And each week we'll bring on one of the lads we played with, because we've got loads to choose on. There's like 15, 20 we can ask to come on. They're all up for it. We spoke to them. So obviously in the comments, I don't know about you two lads, we've just been flooded with questions about America and just everything about it, haven't we?
Yeah, on my Insta DMs as well, some lads asking me to, for us to talk about specific things in America. And I think it would be good as well, because like you say, our pals that we've got out there, our pals that we played with, they're ones from, a couple are from South America, from Spain, Scotland, Greece. So loads of different perspectives on football and their experiences in America and experiences in football in general. So it'd be a good conversation.
I think we'll get a few funny stories. They'll tell you funny stories about us as well, which will probably be embarrassing for us, but it'll be a good laugh for you lads. And obviously we've got loads and loads of people have been asking me about, they're thinking about going out to America and how do we do it? What's the best way? And I think we can cover that as well, because one of the lads we'll be getting on works for the company me and Cal went with. So he can kind of explain the situation, because I know a lot of our viewers are of that age where they're kind of in the middle of whether go to uni or try and go pro in England or do this and that. So I think that'll be really good. But also for future guests, I have got a little bit of an update for the Sean Dyche future podcast. Hopefully. Right, now I spoke to a lad, a close family friend of ours, the same guy who told me the Grant Hanley story when he played at Grant Hanley, played with Grant Hanley. And he's really, really good mates with Chris Wood. Chris Wood's actually going to be going to his wedding this year. And he's basically said to me, look, I'll ask Woodsy. Woodsy will be well up for it. Apparently, he's really funny. And he also told me this, which he said I'm allowed to say on the podcast, that apparently Chris Wood is like really, really like negative about players he plays against in terms of rating them. It takes a lot for him to rate a player. And he said, just to back up my superior footballing knowledge, he says the only centre-half he truly rates in the Premier League is Virgil van Dijk. Apparently, Chris Wood saying he's just like, as we called it kind of the other day, he's just different level. So hopefully we can get Chris Wood on. Apparently he's a good laugh. I've never met him, but my mate George is telling me he's a good lad, he's a good laugh. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is our way into Sean Dyche. Because if we can get Woodsy on, speak to Chris Wood, then Virgil van Dijk, hopefully we'll get Woodsy to put a word in and we can hopefully get Sean Dyche on. So I think the more we grow, the more of you share, follow, like, get people watching us, I think the more chance we've got of getting these guests on, I think it'll be... Yeah. Unreal.
We've got like a little list of people we want on, whether that's our pals that play in the pro game, like League One.
That's
League
it, yeah. Two. Do you want to tell them what your mate, Al?
Well, yeah, like just from networking, people I've played with, my friends and stuff. I know a few ex-pros that I've played with recently, played like League Two, League One, Championship level. Got a friend who currently plays in League One who kind of, trying to sort out, hopefully get him on the podcast. He's a good lad as well. So, and then obviously we've got guests like, obviously Joe Cole, Sean Dyche, Neil Warnock, the King.
Oh my God.
Yeah, like obviously these are long shots, lads, but like we say, the more we grow, the more chance there is for it to happen. So,
mate, we've got to aim high. There's no point going for fucking old Joe down the block. I think, Carl, anything to add?
No. Sounds unreal, mate. Can't wait.
We have got, like I say, lad, we've got so many ideas. We could literally film about 20 podcasts right now, just with all the ideas we've got and things. And we also want to keep it fresh. Like last week, we did the Prem All-Time 11. Then I had loads of people flooding me, say, oh, do an underrated 11, do an all-time 11. We don't want to do that 1 week and then the same next week. We want to try and switch it up each time so it just keeps it fresh and kind of entertaining for you guys. You don't want to be hearing us give 11s each week. Okay, so also we want to start just slowly introducing our old roommate, Fred. Now, for the lads watching who know Fred, even my mates who've never met Fred back home know about Fred, just the stories. He's like an urban legend. You won't believe the things we could tell you about him. So basically, me, Elliot, Cal and Fred lived together. So we were like the four, kind of. Elliot roomed with Fred. He's just... I mean, I don't know how many videos we could probably upload to YouTube. We'd probably get banned or they wouldn't let us. But we've got so many But eventually, we may do the American series and lead up to Fred. We don't know yet. It depends how many comments and stuff we get regarding Fred. So maybe just hashtag we want Fred. So I think that'll wrap us up for today's episode. We're going to record again, I think, Wednesday or Thursday. We'll decide that. And then we'll be back, hopefully put out again Friday. So this is we're hopefully going to do Friday, Monday each week. That's going to be the plan. Friday's going to be a bit more of a banter, just a banter episode. We're going to go over different things like best celebrations, funniest stories in football, best goals we've seen, or best funniest things we've seen on the pitch in our own experiences and in the pro game. So, yeah, we'll put it all out on the socials and stuff when things are going to be dropping. So anything else to add, boys, before we shoot?
No. Yeah, just keep spamming Joe Cole, keep liking, keep subscribing, and who knows?
Yeah, and once we upload onto Spotify, make sure you're listening on there as well, because we want to get it trending and we want to get out there, see as many people as possible. So, yeah, keep liking, subscribing, sharing. Love it.
Boys, it's been a pleasure again. I think we've got the ball rolling now. We're going to absolutely smash the shit out of this. I'll see you again. I'll see you again next episode, boys.
Yeah.
Love it.
Cheers, lads.
Ta-ra.